Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, church. How are you guys doing? I love the support. Go Raiders, is that what someone said? Okay. Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. Real quick, I'm not doing the announcements this time. I'm actually doing the message, which is terrifying. But I do want to start off with saying something. Just because I feel like this is more for me than it is for you. But I've been doing ministry for a really long time now, and I feel like I have to give you guys a window into my life. And why I do that is because I like to be real, I like to be honest, and I'm not afraid of being vulnerable. And in doing that, I do feel like that honors God. And in doing that, I do feel that it brings more glory to God. And so with that being said, I've been serving in the high school ministry, leading in the high school ministry since 2015. And recently just took over the high school ministry here at our East Campus. We're actually in there. The crowd is... But leading up to this day was, if I'm being honest, was terrifying. I can speak to high schoolers all day, but you guys, I don't know what it is. It's just so intimidating. And so I had a lot of prayer and I had a lot of people asking me and telling me, okay, hey, you're going to do great. This is going to be good. Speak truth. And it was just amazing. But what I do want to say and what I do want to let you guys know on why I'm even up here is because I have so much faith and I have so much trust in this book right here, that this overrides any nervousness, any feeling of worry, of stumbling on my words even, because I now have the opportunity this day to spread the gospel to all of you, and that's something worth giving God praise for. And so I don't want to waste any time. I just want to jump into it, and I feel like the quicker we do that, the better we can see God move in our lives. And this is the goal, and this is my hope and my prayer. So if we can bow our heads, let's pray this. God, we thank you so much for what you're doing in this place. And Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would please move through me. Lord, your word says where two or more gather, there you are. And I pray that that presence would be known tonight. And Lord, we thank you in advance for what you're going to be doing. This is no mistake that you're bringing people here to hear what you have to say. We love you and we trust you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So I was sitting in here Monday morning and I was debating on where we were gonna go and the direction that God was gonna take tonight's sermon. And I was sitting in those chairs actually over there in the corner. And as I'm praying, there's a lot of people in this place. There's a lot of foot traffic. We had people cleaning the floors and wiping down the tables. We had people cleaning the chairs. We actually had one woman come in and put the pencils and the flyers in the back of every single one of these chairs. And on top of that, there was people coming in with videos, and they're shooting videos to promote what we have going on in this church. And then we had a prayer group and then volunteers. And there was just so much stuff happening, and it was productive and it was effective, and they were getting ready for church tonight. And what I love about this is as I was diving in my word and I'm asking God, okay, what's the direction we're going towards? I come across this verse in 2 Peter 1, verses 4 through 8. Now, this is Peter talking to individuals in the church to remind them on how you and I can be productive and effective so that we're not couch potatoes, right? And this is what he says. He says, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And the next verse, this is where he hits us. He says, for this very reason, make every effort. Turn to your neighbor, say, make every effort. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why I love this, as everything was happening, everyone's coming together to do church. One thing that I really want to tell you guys is being a Christian is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. You and I, from here until we die, we have to continue to add on to our faith, not just so that we can serve at a church, but so that we can live godly and effective lives. The title for today's message is Living Effectively. And what I want to do is, I do want to share just a few things that I have learned in my walk with God. And I'm not saying that these are the only things, and if you don't follow these, then you're not doing it right. That's not what I'm saying. But the beauty is that we all have a unique and personal relationship with God. And I just went through one of the toughest seasons of my life. And this was something that God showed me in my heart and showed me in my walk that has really made me effective and productive to move forth the kingdom of God. And so the first one is community. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this. It says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Paul wrote this letter to the Jewish members to remind them that you and I, and them back in the day too, that we need to continue to meet with one another. Why? Because if you read Paul, you'll realize there's something important with community. When there is no community, it is easier for discouragement to dwell in your life. Amen? How many of us, when trials hit, or when we deal with an illness, or something comes up, we seclude ourselves from the people around us? And we think, we can do it on our own. And Paul is saying what we're supposed to do, what we're called to do, is to encourage and uplift instead of separating yourself, because that is when discouragement dwells. Colossians 3, 12 and 13 says this, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one of has complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must go and forgive. Paul's suggesting another thing here, and I think this is important, and I want to say this, and I don't want you guys to get mad at me. I've seen a lot of people in the church leave because of an action that another believer did, or leave because someone said something that was offensive, when Paul is saying we got to bear with one another. In a way, tolerate with one another. Not tolerate the sin or the action, but we got to tolerate each other. Instead of being quick to throw the first stone, we should go and be there to uplift and encourage. And that is the spirit that works inside of us. And what I love about this is he continues. In Galatians 6, this is also Paul, verses 1 and 2. It says this, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Pause right there real quick. For those of you who know someone who's going through something, instead of kind of kicking them out, instead of kind of talking about them on Facebook, whatever it is that we do, we should be quick to meet them where they're at with gentleness and with kindness. This is what the Lord has called us to do. But let's finish the verse. It says, keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. And one thing I want to say about this is this last part, which is my favorite. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. One thing about Jesus is he was the ultimate burden bearer, right? We see him come and die on the cross for us, and whatever he did was amazing. He took all of our burdens, and in the same way, we should act in this so that we can take the burdens off of people around us. And as I was saying that, I want to ask you guys, how many of you in here tonight are carrying too much weight on your shoulders? Like if we're being honest, how many of us in here are single mothers? How many of us in here are dealing with relationship issues? How many of us are dealing with real emotional problems in our life? Maybe there's an illness that you're dealing with and you're going, I don't know who to really talk to about this. We are not called to carry our burdens alone. And you have people in your left and in your right now to help carry those burdens with you. And I will say this, yes, God gives us the Spirit to deal with these issues. God gives us the Spirit and the strength to do that. But at the same time, he also places believers in our life to help walk us through it every step of the way. And that is what Valley Bible Fellowship stands on. Community is important. It's in our DNA. The high schoolers know this, but I got this study, and it's these scientists come together and they're trying to figure out what is, right, how do you get joy? How do you get happiness? This was the study, and this is nuts. It's one of the longest running studies currently to this day. It's gone through like four or five different presidencies, and the crazy part about this is the project has followed 250 people. 250 people, and this isn't just a specific type of, this is low, middle, and the rich. Like every single person is involved in this study, and they just recently brought in the wives and the children. And this isn't just little interviews. This is what it says. This is the interviews that they have. Each person was studied thoroughly throughout their lives, which included interviews, health records, doctor's appointments, counseling appointments, and recording serious conversations within their relationships. Yikes. And what they found out, there's a pattern between this joy and this happiness that we can experience, and they found out this, check this out, that close relationships, more than money, more than fame, more than what job you have, more than a dog, I don't know. Whatever it is, close relationships are what make people happy and joyful. And not only that, check this out. It says people who had healthy relationships not only lived longer, but their mental and physical decline didn't occur as quickly as people who were more secluded. Insane. They said that loneliness actually kills and is just as powerful as alcoholism and drugs. All in all, what this study is saying is it's not really about the quantity of the relationships you have, but the quality of the relationships you have. And what I love about that is this just brings scripture to life, and it proves that what God says in the word, how you and I are created to be the body of Christ, this is truth. This is real. This isn't something that we should neglect. It's how we're wired in our DNA. My second point on how to live an effective life is to create monuments in your life. Genesis 28, 16 through 18, this is the Lord came to Jacob and he gave him this vision, this dream, and he showed up in his life. And this is what it says. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. What I love about this verse is Jacob, once he saw the Lord, once he experienced something amazing, Jesus, he therefore goes and he creates this pillar as a reminder, as a memory that's where God showed up in his life. And he does this again in Genesis 35, 1 and 3. It says this, God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." These monuments that we create, these memories in our life where God had showed up for Jacob, it wasn't just for him. It wasn't just for a reminder so that he can continue to do the things that God was calling him to do, but it was for the people around him. We think of Pastor Ron with his leukemia. That's a monument in his life. And how many people has that affected here in this church? Why it's so important for you and I to keep these memories, to remind ourselves of when God showed up, is because when they become monuments and pillars in our life, it is easier for us to hold on to something when we're going through the tough times. I'm currently holding on to a monument right now. I married a year and a half, a little over a year and a half. And when we first got married, there wasn't any like financial issues really because we like lived in a trailer, but there was a lot more financial burdens. And right now, currently, I have some big financial dues coming up. I off-road just for fun. And is anyone off-road in here? Any off-roaders? Okay, sweet. Yeah, let's start a club. But what I like to do is I take this truck into some pretty like rigorous trails, and now it hit the 100,000 mile mark, and there's like, I guess, a big service that you have to do. So I have to do this big service. But I called in and to the place that I was going to get this service stat, and they said, oh, okay, it'll be just like $1,500. And I was like, just $1,500. But what I ended up doing is I kind of took a step back before I easily got entailed to being fearful of the money. And I was like, you know what? God has been here in the past before. God has helped me before. There was a time when my wife and I, we first got married, and the whole financial stuff, right? Financial burdens. One of the things that I did is I would have to sell truck parts to kind of take those burdens off and to pay some bills. And because I found out that toilet paper and that kind of stuff just doesn't regenerate when you move out of your parents' house. And what I ended up doing was there was a time where my joy was based off of how much money I had in the bank account. So if my bank account was okay-ish, then I was happy, I was joyful, and I can go and help people out. But if my bank account was lacking, then I couldn't help people, so I said. And then I saw like my joy being based off of however much money I had. And I remember I took my wife to Cafe Smitten, and then we were broke. But we went to Cafe Smitten, and I was kind of sharing this information with her. I was telling her that I felt like money was becoming my idol, and she's a woman of God, and she prayed for me. And during that time, I remember going, this is like, it's not going to, I'm done. Like, God is my God. He's bigger than my finances. And so what I do, I go to OfferUp and I try and sell some more truck parts. And so I get home and I'm on OfferUp and I sell sidesteps for like $450, which is a lot of money, right? $450 is $450. So I have I found a buyer and I'm on my way to go bring him these sidesteps. And on the way, I hear God tell me to just give away my sidesteps. And I'm going, hold on. Whoa. I need this money. Like, there's no way I can give. But sure enough, it wasn't to prove anything to God, but it was to prove to myself that money wasn't my focus. That I had faith in my God. So when I pulled up, I literally told the guy, hey, like, here's your sidesteps. Congratulations. Like, God told me to give them to you. I found out that that guy, his cousin, is actually on the worship team. But I gave the sidesteps to this person, and I go to my mom's house, and she has mail for me. And one of the mails, it's a bill. So I thought, for my old company, it was actually a check, a reimbursement for $450. This is the God that we serve. He just wanted to see if I was faithful. So the second one, like I said, is to create those monuments in your life because it really does make a difference. It really does help you when you're going through the thick of those trials. And my third and final point, how to live an effective life, is getting into God's word. Earlier I said I went through one of the toughest seasons of my life, and my family's actually in here too. Last year, my dad passed away unexpectedly. No warning, no nothing. We were planning on seeing him, and but he was gone. And it was hard for my family and I. And I kind of put a front, and I was trying to be the strong one of the family. But 2 days before he passed, I get a phone call from my mom, and she says, "Hey, your dad really wants to talk to you." I was like, "Okay, I'll go and give him a call." But like I said in the beginning, I've always been just so to my own area and to what I have going on, and I get too busy. And so what I ended up doing is I told myself, I'll just call him in the weekend. I'll call him on that Sunday. That weekend, it never came for him. and he passed away, and I never got to really talk to him. And what is a bummer is my relationship with him wasn't where I wanted it to be because I was too busy, because I was too caught up with my own things. And so when it happened, I remember being so upset and furious at myself. I was upset at God. My head went to the what ifs, and to a certain extent, I got kind of numb. Luckily, I had people in my life who were praying for me, and it was great, but it was the moments that I was by myself that I was just in pain, and no matter how many times I would read the word, it was just words to me. Like my faith wasn't in it. And so I finally got to a point where I sat down and I opened my word. And the chapter that I read, I'll never forget this, was Psalms 42. And this is, some people say it's David. Some people say it's just another psalmist. But the point of the story is there. It's this person who was kicked out of the synagogue. And in doing so, he wasn't able to be in the presence of the Lord. And this is how this story starts. Psalms 42, verses 1 through 3 says this: "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" When I was reading this and I saw the pain and the agony that David was going through, I related to it. I was going, why is this happening to me? I'm doing everything right. Have you ever been there before? Or you come to church on Wednesdays and you come to church on Sundays. Maybe you're even involved in a Bible study and adversity is still knocking on your door and you're going, why is this going on in my life? And you can see David in this whole chapter, he encourages himself and then he beats himself back up and then he encourages himself and then he beats himself back up and he gets to a point where he even says, "God, why have you forgotten me?" And I'm sitting there reading these pages going, David, I feel you. I'm there. Like, why am I so numb? What is happening? And you know what David's solution is? Let's pull up verse 11. This is what David says. After he beats himself up again, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" This is his solution. "Put your hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." God didn't come down in his life and show him, "Hey, here you go. I'm here. You're good." There wasn't a miracle that happened to where David was like, "Okay, I feel better." Nothing happened. There was no solution. David was still in this place going, "I'm stuck. God, I don't know what to do." But he says, "I'm going to continue regardless of whether I'm out of my circumstance or not. I'm going to praise God because I know that when our lives change," because they will, when adversity knocks on your door, when there's challenges, whatever you face will change. But you know what doesn't change? God's word and God's truth. His promises are there regardless of how you feel. And so when David comes to this point and he says, "I'm going to put my hope in God," later you see some redemption. But I got to this place where I finally understood that I'm not going to know why he left. I'm not going to know why God took my dad. I'm not going to know why whatever the situation happened. I'm probably never even going to know the answer. But you know what my hope is? You know what my encouragement is? Is that I know my hope and my confidence is that my dad is spending eternity with the creator of the universe. And this is the promises that you and I get to have. My last point, I didn't give you guys this, tech team. I wasn't gonna use this, but my last point is this. In order for you to live an effective and productive life, the most important thing you can do, don't put it off to the weekend. Don't put it off till tomorrow. If you're in here tonight and you're going, I got a lot of baggage that I need to let go, come to the altar tonight. If you're in here and you're going, there's so much weight on my shoulders, Jerome, I don't think you understand. It's great what you're saying, but you just don't understand. God does. If you're in here and you're going, honestly, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to do. We're going to have a prayer team up here to come and pray for you guys. And if you're in here today and you've never given your life to God, let today be the day. There's a word that we use for comfort sometimes, and it's just not true. But it's the word someday. That someday we'll get our life right with God. Someday we'll start going to church more regularly. Someday we'll get involved. But that someday is just an illusion. It's an illusion that one day you're going to do something when God says that we're not even promised tomorrow. If you're in here tonight and you want to make that decision, we're going to have prayer teams here to pray for you guys. But don't put it off. I want to pray for you guys, and then we're good to go. If you could bow your heads, let's pray this. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy that we do not deserve. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here tonight that wants to get in a relationship with you, God, would you just start working on their heart? Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move in this place. Lord, we thank you for the confidence that we get to have when we're in you. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that we don't deserve, but God, we trust you. So move in this place as we make these decisions and as we get rid of all the baggage that is just holding us down. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you guys, and God bless.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.